Hi, and welcome back to the Attract podcast with your host, Anna Rombold. In this guest episode, I interview business coach and the queen of easy business, Libby Langley. Libby is an incredibly experienced leader in her field, and she shares such a wealth of knowledge with us in this episode. Libby started her business before the social media boom and shares some brilliant insights into scaling businesses for long-term growth and sustainability. Let's dive in. Hi, Libby, and welcome to the podcast. I'm really excited to chat with you today, and I'd love to start off by just hearing a little bit more about your story and what it is that you do.
Hi, well, thank you for having me along. It's very nice to be here. So I, in a nutshell, I'm Libby Langley. I'm a business coach. I've been doing it since 2011. Worked with, nearly 6,500 business owners in that time. And my main, the thing that I'm really passionate about is helping women particularly to be smarter about business, to think like a business owner rather than just a service provider, or and to earn more. Work less, earn more. That's really what matters in life. Have some fun.
Oh, I love that. And wow, that's a really long time. So you've been in this space since, I guess, before social media is really sort of taken off to the level that it's at now?
Yeah, I mean, I started in my previous life, I worked in education in a college, and I got qualified as a tutor, and I used to run quite a few courses, and I started dabbling in social media then back in 2009, something like that, teaching Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn then to business owners, you know, how to use it for business. And honestly, it was a piece of cake then. You put a post on Facebook, you could make £1 million by the weekend. It was just, the world was very different. So when I first started the business, I did, and for the first good, I don't know, maybe 10 years, I suppose, I did a lot of social media training, strategy, particularly digital marketing strategy. But yeah, it's a totally different world now. Blimey, I mean, yeah, I started doing it before Instagram even existed. I'm such a grandma. But it's a different world now. And the strategy is what I'm interested in, and the kind of nuts and bolts of business. So I haven't taught social media other than LinkedIn every so often for quite a while now. Leave that to the young'uns.
Oh, that's really interesting then. Yeah, that's a really interesting journey. And actually, what's interesting, I came across a conversation yesterday where a few experts in the online space were talking about how a lot of people are reporting that they're finding it more difficult to sell in the online space today versus, you know, a couple of years ago. Is that something that you've seen? Because as you've just said, you're keen on strategy, and ultimately, you know, your strategy should be something that works no matter what the environment, you know, what's going on in the online space, etc. Is that something that you've seen?
Absolutely. I mean, like I say, when I first started, it was anybody's game. You know, it was fantastic. Twitter particularly was just superb for making connections and, you know, selling your products, you know, raising your profile. But over the years, it's become more saturated. And what happened during COVID was great in a lot of ways, because people were able to just start businesses from home because they had the internet. And there was this real kind of absolute influx of people running online businesses. And it's so much more saturated now. So what you could do even just 4 years ago, it's much harder now because there's just much more of it about. And the things, those of us who've been in the online space, digital marketing space, doing online services for a long, long time, we'll see tactics now that it's like we used to use that nobody kind of realized they were part of the strategy. Whereas now it's like, yeah, we know what you're doing. You know that your timers are false. We know that these are inflated turnover costs that you're talking about rather than like your profit. And a lot of the integrity has gone out of it, I think. But yeah, I do think it's harder because it's more saturated, but that absolutely doesn't mean that if you've got the right niche and the right message, you can't have a really successful business. You've got to be clearer about what you're doing, why and for who.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And in some ways, if you kind of get sucked into that online space and what everybody else is talking about, that can actually make that piece harder, can't it, to actually get super clear on what it is that you want to do, what you deliver, who you want to serve, and actually doing that in a simple way. I think it's so easy for us to feel the need to complicate things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what, you know, my thing is Well, I kind of self-titled as the queen of easy business. And what I mean by that is not that business is easy, because anybody who tells you business is easy is just not telling you the truth. You know, there's really tough times in business. Even if you're at the top of your game, there's really tough times in business mentally and kind of environmentally. But what I mean by easy business is knowing exactly what it is that you want, focusing on that and doing it in the quickest and most effective way possible. That's what easy is. What we do, because there is so much choice out there, we chuck loads of things in that we don't need to have, and we overcomplicate, like you say, and just, you know, you've got funnels that you've forgotten where they lead to, and they've got 300 steps that nobody could possibly correct without, you know, and it doesn't need to be like that. It really doesn't. So kind of thinking back to how we used to do business 10 years ago, using the internet, but using it in a much more simple way, actually can be a lot more effective, because it's less of a headspace. And for most small business owners, which is my customer base and your customer base too, right? Our client base is small businesses. Then you don't need all the bells and whistles. And thinking that you need all the bells and whistles adds to your headache and probably ultimately prevents you being the success that you absolutely can be.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I know from my journey in business myself, I'm in year four now, but at the beginning, shiny object syndrome could easily take over.
Yeah. That's a really, and a lot of entrepreneurs are neurodivergent too. I mean, I'm autistic ADHD, and oh my goodness me, the rabbit holes, the shiny objects, our brains are so good at coming up with ideas and are so interested in new things and want to kind of try lots of stuff. So the real skill and the real, the real thinking like a business owner space is, no, I don't need to do this. No, I don't need to do this. I'll do this on Sunday when I'm not working and I can just spend all the time going down that rabbit hole and it's not interrupting my business. You know, you've got to kind of self-manage a little bit on that, or you will, yeah, you'll never achieve anything. And take that from one who's been down all the rabbit holes.
Yeah, me as well. I could definitely relate. Sometimes it's harder to say no than it is to say yes. In fact, it's often harder to say no, I think.
Yeah, I think it's always harder to say no than yes, because you don't even realize you're doing it until you're like, what's this business plan I've just written? What was that for? I was supposed to be doing something else, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. And I think as well, what that does is kind of, it clouds, doesn't it, what you're actually here to do. And ultimately, we are here to serve, aren't we? We're here to serve, and we're here to show people why they might want to work with us, whatever niche we might be in. And you can just cloud, you can put up a wall there, can't you, when you're doing 100 different things in different ways.
Yeah. And as the business owner, you know, say this to my clients regularly and also to myself, that our job as the business owner is kind of marketing, sales, delivery, really. And all the other stuff that we get bogged down in, other people can do. So if you've got the right, not necessarily, outsourcing to an enormous team, but certainly one or two key place people who can do specific tasks, it makes such a difference. And it allows you to be more creative, which means that your marketing will be better. And by marketing, I just mean conversations with people. You know, it doesn't have to be anything, doesn't matter how you do it, doesn't matter what your marketing strategy is. But if you've got the creative headspace for that, you're going to make more sales, because you're talking to more people, you're more passionate, you're more open to discussing stuff. And then you can serve them more better as well, because you've made the connection with them along the way. So yeah, it's definitely better to elevate your positioning within your own business. I think that really helps.
Yeah, that's such a good piece of advice, actually. In fact, I'd love to talk about that a little bit more. Like, what do you think some of the key challenges around that are? You know, the struggle around actually elevating our position as a business owner.
I think for women, it's rife. You know, we're chronic underchargers, women, and people pleasers too. And I think the reasons for that is because we live in a patriarchal society still, and you know, our generations before us, you know, the women often didn't work and they stayed at home. They were housewives. I mean, for goodness, what, you're married to your house? I mean, what an awful, you know, it's a horrible kind of thing. But that's what society expects. And it's the women that do stuff. Not always. This is a generalization. And so, you know, the one that makes the packed lunches, the one that does the school run, the one that just thinks about what needs to happen, all of this. And so this gets carried over into businesses. Therefore, we're not good at asking for support. We're not good at delegating because we can just do it all ourselves because we're already juggling 52 plates. So what's another 12? So we kind of take everything on and we think we can do everything. And we think by enlisting support, we're showing a sign of weakness. But enlisting support is really different to asking for help. You know, support is like, I'm on this journey, come with me. Help is, oh, I'm drowning. And so, you know, enlist support. That's great. And it would just be so good to be able to empower more women to think that the higher we stand and the more we kind of this up-leveling of ourselves, the more people we can actually help and the more lives we can change and the more money we can make. And the more money we make, the more money we can invest in other things, other people, nice experiences for ourselves and give away to good causes. You know, it's only for the good, but it starts with us and it starts with our own self-belief.
Yeah, and self-belief is just huge, isn't it? I've had quite a lot of conversations on this podcast with quite a few different coaches, and we always come back to this piece around self-belief and how actually, as particularly as coaches and mentors, which most of the listeners of this podcast are in that sort of space, online service provider, coach, mentor, and how actually a lot of what we do as personal brands goes against the grain. And, you know, like, I totally agree with everything that you said, you know, the patriarchy and all of these things. It requires a lot of reconditioning, a lot of shedding of layers and things and labels. And that's not easy. I think that takes, for me, I feel that that takes a lot of constant development, constant personal development.
Yeah, it does. And I think it's okay to know, yeah, it doesn't make you a bad person to say, no, I'm not doing this, someone else is going to do this. You know, it's no, I'm not doing, well, it's just boundaries, isn't it? But no, I'm not taking calls from clients in the evening because that's not why I set up my business. That's just the rule, right? You know, you can't go to John Lewis at midnight because they're closed. Fine, everybody just knows that. So why do we, as generally speaking, female service providers, you know, there is a difference, I think. Why do we think that people can just can just have what they want from us when they want it? If you think more like a shop, then it's actually easier to put it into, I don't know, to normalize it, really. It's like, these are my opening hours, these are when I take calls. And something just as simple as that, making that difference, actually is a phenomenal first step. And once you've kind of got used to that and you realize that nobody hates you and it's all fine, then that's cool, you know. That's the good start. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally hear that, actually. And for me, as definitely a recovering people pleaser, I think recognizing that I'm actually doing my clients a service by setting boundaries, and that actually that need that I felt to people please was actually coming from a place of selfishness. You know, I was doing it for reasons because I didn't want to be rejected, or I didn't want to be seen as somebody who wasn't accessible. But when I actually realized that I was doing my clients a service by setting those kind of boundaries, like you say, like as if I was a shop, that was a bit of a game changer.
Yeah, and I think it comes from a place of fear, actually, because I think, I don't know what it is, I don't know what it is with women that we feel like this. I don't know why, and all I can assume is because we've been, you know, we used to be called the fairer sex, for goodness sake. You know, I mean, we've been kind of told for generations that the men are the strong ones, the men are the ones in charge. And so I think probably deep within us, we kind of believe that, or we know we're railing against it, you know. And so just making these small changes does just make such a difference. But, you know, I know the first time I said to a client, because I used to have terrible boundary issues when I first started. I mean, it's taken me a long time to kind of be aware of this as much as anything, and not be afraid to say something. I took on a new client and I was going to be talking to her every week, one-to-one client. And she said, Mondays are the best day for me. And I just said, without batting an eye, I said, I don't do client calls on a Monday. So now we do them on a Wednesday with all the other client calls. And it's like, there it was. That was it. It was fine. But there's this fear that if you say that, everybody will hate you and you'll lose everything. And it's just so irrational. You know, it's like the parcel collection office isn't open during the day. It's only open for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. So you just go when it's open, and it's like, you might grumble about it a bit, but you just do it because that's when it's open. We should not feel fear or shame or guilt or anything for doing the same, because we are a service provider. Therefore, we provide the service when we provide it. And if you want to provide a 24/7 service when everybody can get hold of you whenever, charge for it. You know, okay, that'll be 20 grand a month then. You can have me 24/7.
Yeah. That is so true. And I think it's interesting actually, because if we think of ourselves as the client, if we put ourselves in their shoes, I, for one, I know that I would respect somebody who said, I only take calls on this day. And they said, you can only talk to me in Voxer during these hours. I would respect that. I would never go away and complain about it or complain back to that person. So I think for me, when I put myself in the shoes of that person, I can rationalize it a little bit more.
Yes, it makes perfect sense. I don't know what the fear is, because we know it's not logical. We all know it's not logical, you know? And if somebody doesn't want to work with you because you only take client calls on a Wednesday, well, they're probably not someone that you really want to work with anyway, you know? Or they're your dream client and they genuinely can't do it. And in which case you do a workaround, but that's not an advertised workaround. You know, you can make judgments each time. But yeah, I just think it's really fascinating. And because I work predominantly with women, the same issues kind of come up time and time again. And it's just like, why are we like this? Why do we do this? We shouldn't do this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, none of us are exceptional in the way that this doesn't affect anybody. And interestingly, actually, in the space that I do with a focus on marketing and content, I see people pleasing come up so often with content as well, because we often feel the need to speak to everybody who we possibly can help rather than the people that we most want to help. That again was something that took me a little bit of time to realize, also a little bit of trial and error to actually realize the types of people you enjoy working with. But it can be hard to accept when people unfollow, unsubscribe, move on because they no longer resonate. But that's actually okay. And again, I really think you're doing those people a service by, of course, they've got autonomy to go and choose who they want to, you know, who they want to follow, and they can be in a space they want to be in, and that's okay. And I think that can be really hard to grasp as well.
Everything is about self-selection. You know, I use the, I've been using this analogy for about 15 years, I think, when it comes to niching and marketing. But I always talk about supermarkets, right? Particularly in the UK, I don't know about other countries, but in the UK, there's really clear branding and clear targeting from our key supermarkets. Because we've got like, what, four or five or so main supermarkets that everybody knows about. But if you look at Asda, for example, which is bright colours, bright lights, talks about price, everything's the cheapest, convenience, it aims at busy people who can go and do it, busy families, I'm sorry, and generally speaking mums who can go and do their big shop, right? That's absolutely their clear market. You know if that's you or not, okay? And then the other end is Waitrose, which is softer colours. There's plenty of staff. The staff are often a lot older, retired people go and work there, have time to talk. Things are much more expensive, but it's more of an experience to go there. You can get the fancy stuff that you want and you go with your basket and you might go twice a week and it's a lovely time. You know, and you know which one you are, right? You self-identify with which experience you want. They both just sell food, right? There's fundamentally kind of no difference between them, but they're very different experiences. And I think that's the same with, it's the best way that I can explain the difference, the kind of marketing niche thing. It's like, just be who you are and your personality, and you will attract the people that you want to work with. If you're trying to be something else, you know, it's like when if Waitrose said, oh, we're as cheap as Asda, it's like, well, I don't want to go to you because you're cheap, I want to go because I quite like going. And same as if Asda started saying, you know, oh, come to for the experience, and it's like, no, it's a hellhole, I don't want to go, you know. So it doesn't work if you try and be something you're not. But if you're absolutely clear on what you are and what you offer and how you help people, and that's pricing, positioning, branding, message, all of it, right, people will know to come to you or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you've got to have that clarity, haven't you, to be able to show those people that you're for them. It's interesting, actually. It's also letting go of the fact that people could be triggered potentially by what you say. I have a client who, she speaks to a very specific person in her content. It's a six-figure earner, not necessarily in business, but her business is about money. So she talks about this really often. Occasionally, if somebody comes across one of her posts, occasionally she gets a comment like, this is so ridiculous, like there's a cost of living crisis. She knows now, you know, that person has kind of stumbled across a post that is not meant for them. And that person has seemingly not recognized that that post isn't for them. And I think that, again, accepting that you might trigger someone, but again, that's actually okay. But that's hard. It's not easy.
Yeah, I think the difference is, you know, I mean, you can't imagine that Lamborghini is triggered by someone commenting and saying, hey, well, do you think it's okay to charge 200 grand for a car? It's a cost of living crisis. It's like, you know, I know, well, don't buy one then. It's, you know, there's so much. And I don't mean to be dismissive of, you know, the cost of living crisis, right? Because it is affecting people. But it to base what you do and what you offer on kind of media perception to a certain extent, then that's not a great way to be. There will always be customers out there for all of us at whatever level of service we're offering. And we won't always be for everyone. And no matter where you position yourself, there will always be people who say you're too expensive, who say they don't like the colour of your hair, who say you're too cheap, who think your service is rubbish and who think your service is amazing. You know, there will always be all those people. Like, that we all have opinions on every product and service out there. And but the difference is, we're not a product, we are the service. And that's the thing. So it feels personal. So you've got to remember that, you know, like, you know, the Libby and Anna that we are here today, this is like business us. This is brand us, right? But when we come off, you know, when we finish this recording and I don't know, later on tonight when we're just sitting watching Netflix or whatever we're doing, that's like private us, and there can be a difference, you know? That's okay. You turn up and shine, I guess, and you don't have to be like that all the time. So that gives you a bit of a protective layer from stuff if you need it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I really do believe that we get to detach, and, you know, our self-worth is not defined by the results that we create in business or by what people think of us in business. And I think that's an important lesson, certainly one that I've really learned over the years. And it's interesting, actually, that example that you used, I often talk about how it would be like a couple of people walking into Chanel and saying, these handbags are ridiculously overpriced. They're not going to change that price. They're going to just wait for the next person to walk in and say, which color looks best on me? And again, like, that's, we don't need to let that define what we do. And that can be easy as well. You know, if enough people tell you that your service is too expensive, you're fighting against the need to drop the price. And I really do get how that can be quite a challenge.
Yeah, it can be, for sure. And pricing's a really tricky one. And I said before that women chronically undercharge, and it's not just about doubling your prices for doubling your prices' sake. It's not about grabbing all the money that you can. It's about, hold on a minute, how many years experience have I got? What did it cost me to get here? You know, what training and skills and longevity and all of that. What results do I get, and what are they worth for people? It's never about an hourly rate. You know the story of the engineer who he quoted, there was something wrong with, was it with plane? And there was something wrong with it. And he quoted them 20 grand and they said, no, we're not paying that. So they got an assortment of other people in who couldn't fix it. And then in the end, they got him back and it took him 2 minutes. And they said, that's not worth 20 grand. And he said, yeah, it is, because I fixed the problem and nobody else could. It's the experience. And so it's not about time. It's just about knowing where you sit, you know, in the market, and also what you want out of your business and your life. You know, so if you're forever charging £12 an hour for your services, it's going to be really hard graft, and you'd earn more in a job, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, we've got to have that in place, haven't we? Otherwise, we will just get to that point of burnout, and we would be better off in a job. Like, and I know that sounds like a really harsh thing to say, but unless we have some level of understanding of whether the money that we're earning is going to give us the life and the lifestyle that we desire, it is actually a really important conversation to have and a standard to hold.
Yeah, no, it is. And it only matters to you. You know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of talking about money, talking about turnover online. You know, there's lots of people who will share their oh, I made £1 million overnight. And it's like, yeah, but that's your turnover, isn't it? So what's your profit from that? And people don't talk about that. So I don't think it matters to anybody else other than you and your immediate family, you know, anyone who's influenced about it, what your money goal is in your business. It doesn't matter at all. A 30 grand a year business is just as valid as a £3 million a year business. It's about what you want from it, your lifestyle, your happiness, your joy, and everything that brings. And that's what matters more.
I love that. That's, yeah, such a good comment. The 30 grand business, £3 million business, it's what it means to you. And I actually think that that's something else that the online space can create a little bit. We look up to people perhaps who are showing the millions, and it feels like, is one more valid than the other? But absolutely, it's about what matters to us, isn't it? I love that.
Yeah, it is. And it's about the profit at the end of the day. It's about how much you've got left. You know, you could have the biggest turnover in the world, but you make 10% profit. Well, I'd rather have a smaller business and make 75% profit. You know, it's about understanding those kind of nuts and bolts of the business, really, and what actually matters. But nobody knows other than you what you could say anything online. You could just absolutely make it up, as I'm sure some of those people do. But you know, it doesn't matter. We get so kind of hooked, you know, fixated on this. You know, the 10k month is like 10k month. It's like, why? Because if you only want to work 15 hours a week and you've got really low outgoings, then maybe 5 grand a month would be a superb big amount to go for. You know, it just, we kind of have to stop almost like believing everything that we're seeing and living other people's goals, and just take a step back and think about what we want for ourselves. And I really think that is just the most empowering thing anybody can do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And actually, in every part of your business, I think you've touched on this a couple of times, and I think it is so important. We can look for what works. We can look for, you know, a strategy that is working for someone else, that is getting people results. But if that doesn't align with what we want and how we want to run our businesses, how we want to live our lives, then it's not going to work for us. And I think, again, it can be quite difficult because we've got to be so clear on what it is that we do want. What do we want our days to look like? What do we want our lives to look like? And those are really important questions that can often take the back seat, I think.
Yeah, they should be the first questions. You know, they absolutely should be the first question. It's the first question you ask yourself every day. You know, what is it that I actually want? And is what I'm doing going to get me there? And so often, I mean, certainly I've been through this lots of times in my business. The answer to that is no. It's like, why am I going in this direction? Sure, I'm making the money. Sure, I'm, you know, transforming the clients' lives and all this, but am I happy? Not really. Okay, what needs to change? And that's the whole absolutely, I'll never ever tire of this in business, the absolute joy and pleasure and novelty of being able to say, huh, do you know what, I'm just going to change it then. It's the best feeling in the world. And that's the point of having a business, you know. Do what you want to do, no matter how weird and wonderful it is. Do it, everything in the way that you want to, not what someone else tells you should do.
Yeah, absolutely. And when that joy is behind it, that's when you're going to want to work. You're going to actually really like the day to day.
Yeah. And it stops feeling, I mean, it's always work, you know. I mean, we can all love what we do, but if we had 20 million in the bank, I'm damn sure we wouldn't be doing it, right? You know, I think if we're probably honest, we'd be on a Caribbean island somewhere doing something, sipping pina coladas. But you know, we enjoy what we enjoy what we're doing, but we do want to earn money from it too. And it's about having that balance of it not feeling like work and it feeling a pleasure, but it also being business focused and it being a serious business, not a hobby. Because if it's a hobby, then, you know, that's when the boundaries all fall apart. But you can have a serious business and think like a serious business owner and only work 20 hours a week. You know, it doesn't have to be all in full time. Again, depending what you want back from it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I'd love to ask if you have any kind of little tips, any golden nuggets for anybody who's listening to this podcast episode and is maybe feeling a little bit detached from what they really want. They are all in on their business. You know, they don't want it to be a hobby. Perhaps they're a couple of years in already. Do you have any kind of little nuggets of advice or little tips that might be able to help these people to really create a little bit more ease and joy in their businesses?
Yeah, I mean, I've got loads, so I'll just try and narrow it down to like one or two. The most important thing, if there's a kind of a feeling of uncertainty, if there's just this like gut feel that something isn't quite right, then the best thing to do, in all honesty, is take yourself away from your desk, because ain't no magic going to happen sitting there if that feeling is there. And take yourself away, preferably with somebody who knows what they're talking about. I mean, it could be a coach, could be a mastermind day, something like that, but could just be a kind of peer in the same industry, but somebody who cares but isn't emotionally involved, and just talk through with them and keep saying, but why is that? But why is that? And why do you feel like that? And why is that? And then eventually you'll kind of get to the rub of it. And you've got to be absolutely brutally honest, even if it means that you've built a business that's earning money, but the delivery is wrong. And so you, or the clients are wrong. So you kind of need to change absolutely everything. You have to sometimes make those big, brave decisions. And so that's what I would say. I would say, step back, ask yourself why and what it is, and then put the steps in place to change it. And they can be loads of small steps, or they can be one enormous leap of faith, you know, depending on which you prefer. But that's certainly the best way. But honesty with yourself, you know, what would I really like? Turns out you'd like to own a cattery and not be an online coach. Well, there you go then. So, you know, it's amazing what comes up. But yeah, that's absolutely what I would say. And that's not just people who are early in their journey. That's people who are at any stage of their journey. It's never, particularly if you're a service provider, it's much easier to change direction. And so just think about what tweaks you can make, or what massive jumps you need to make in order to make yourself happy.
Yeah, I love that, actually. It's really just stripping it back, isn't it, to what matters.
Yeah, it is. And only you will know that, right? I can't tell you what matters. You can't tell them what matters. It's we only know ourselves what matters to us, which is great, which makes it all so interesting and individual, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah, and again, it brings it back to the beauty of business, doesn't it, that we get to have that choice.
Yeah, it's fab. It's, well, I don't know. I'll just never tire of it. This is my 13th year, and it just really excites me that a new opportunity comes that I hadn't thought of. And I'm like, this is so cool, the direction this is going in. And I love the fluidity of it. And I love the choice. I love the freedom. But it takes a long time to kind of get to that almost sense of inner trust and peace. I think that's kind of the thing. And I can't tell anybody how to get that. And I don't think you can tell anybody how to get that, really. But we can give guidance, right? But it is about you really looking into yourself and thinking what you want, and just think, right, well, screw what everybody says. I'm going to do this and I'm going to love it.
Yeah, I love that. And stepping into that courage. Yeah, it's such a good thing. And I can absolutely relate with you, you know, the freedom, the opportunities. I love the fact that something tomorrow could come up that I never even saw in my peripheral vision, you know, that I had no idea that was going to sort of come across my path. And that's so cool.
And I think one thing about that, actually, is that these opportunities come about because, you know, we've been marketing ourselves online as ourselves, kind of no filter, you know, just saying what we believe in, saying what we think, and attracting the right people and alienating loads of others, but that's fine. And then it's by doing that, I'm not a big fan of the word authentic, but being that kind of true version of yourself that allows those opportunities to come. And if you're masking, you know, if you're pretending to be someone else because you think that's what you need to do to get ahead, it's going to be really, really difficult for you to sustain that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree there. It's just going to feel like resistance, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It would just be so hard. I mean, I think back to kind of when I had my career, and definitely I was, you know, I wore the suit, I wore the heels, and it's just like that was an act, really. You know, I know I said before that we're kind of like brand us at the minute, and then we're not, but you know, to almost embody that all the time, it's really hard. And that is where burnout comes in and dissatisfaction comes in, and you just lose your mind one day. You know, yeah, it's not good. And in your own business, there's no need to do that, because who are you trying to please other than yourself? So just be yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually, I think that brings me quite nicely to a question that I have for you. around how you're building your business on your terms. And I know you've clearly got a lot of experience in this, but in fact, it would be really great to hear if that's evolved at all. But yeah, I'd love to hear about how you're building your business on your terms.
So yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest decision that I've made in the last few months is that I've done one-to-one coaching for a long, long time, but there's something about the ongoing kind of retainer clients on one-to-one coaching that doesn't sit well with me. And it's nothing to do with the clients, because the clients are perfect, the clients I adore. It's nothing to do with the results I deliver. It's to do with that kind of holding space between the sessions. And I don't know quite how to articulate it, but hopefully you understand what I'm talking about. And I've never kind of liked that. It's put a pressure on me. Not from them, just because knowing that I'm, I've got to see them again in another week or so. And so I've stopped taking on any new one-to-one clients. I announced that in December 2023. And that was massive, because that was my income, right? That was a big chunk of my income. So, but I knew that it didn't quite sit right. And so, is this making me happy? Well, not entirely, no. What do I need to change? Oh my God, I need to just stop offering my main service. And it's frightening. But I made the announcement, and not taking it, so I haven't got rid of my clients, but I'm not taking any more new ones. And so now I offer one day in-person masterminds with people. So I still get that absolutely beautiful level of intensity and support that I can give. And then everybody just goes home, and they can come to another one if they want to, or not. And it's just so nice to me that I get to like massively over deliver and support, but within that kind of defined container, without having to, I don't know, follow up and I don't want to say care, because of course I care about them all, but yeah, I'm not responsible. And it feels like a really adult way of working. But yeah, that was a phenomenally massive, scary decision that I made quite recently. And I'm years into this business, right? So I am my own best client and worst client as well. But that was, yeah, that was huge in terms of my journey. And I found the marketing much, much easier, because I'm like, right, I'm running another mastermind day. Come, don't come, whatever. This is what will happen if you do. If you don't, fine, don't. And I find that simplicity so, so easy. And it fits with my kind of no-nonsense way of talking and my style. And, you know, I'm autistic ADHD as well. So, you know, deep relationships are not necessarily my thing, but super business relationships absolutely are. And it's great. And it's just all this self-awareness and self-acknowledgement that makes such a difference. So I always share my journey, and I share my experience, and I share what I've learned along the way, and that seems to really help people too, because I'm just honest about it. But yeah, that's big business shift for me recently.
I love that. Yeah. And actually, it's really amazing to hear how that's derived from alignment, you know, knowing what works for you, knowing what's going to be the best for your clients and your business. And it's a great business decision. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a really inspiring conversation. I think the listeners of this podcast are going to really get a lot of golden nuggets out of that. I think you've shared, you've got a lot of experience. So I think those nuggets are going to be so valuable. So thank you so much, Libby.